On Capitol Hill, lawmakers have reached an agreement for a new coronavirus aid package. A growing list of countries bans air travel from the UK amid a surge of a highly infectious strain of COVID-19.
It's spreading much more rapidly than the older versions, and the government sort of estimates maybe 70% more rapidly than the earlier versions of the virus.
While investors keep tabs on developments surrounding the pandemic, all eyes are on Tesla as it makes its S&P 500 debut. And magicians face the tricky business of bringing their acts to virtual audiences. It's Monday, December 21st. I'm Keith Collins, filling in for Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. And this is What's News. Lawmakers have reached a final agreement for a roughly $900 billion coronavirus relief package after months of gridlock. On Sunday, Congress passed a 24-hour extension of government funding, and lawmakers are expected to vote on the relief agreement and a broader spending bill today. The emerging agreement is expected to provide a direct $600 payment to many Americans, $300 a week in enhanced federal unemployment benefits, and aid for schools, vaccine distribution, and small businesses. The Journal's Christina Peterson explains how the breakthrough came about.
The reality of the worsening pandemic situation, the soaring hospitalizations, the new restrictions. Lawmakers have really been hearing about this for a while and really felt the urgency on the need to enact legislation that would provide more aid to people. Some of it was good news. I think the vaccine was also a motivating factor because lawmakers saw that states and municipalities needed more help in being able to distribute the vaccine, which gets more funding in this new package. And then I think there are some political realities. We were past the election, which always makes things a little bit easier. And, you know, at the end of the year, Congress always passes a big end of year package. And so that was sort of the last train leaving the station. And this was basically their shot.
We'll have more in this evening's What's News podcast. Numerous countries, including France, Germany, and Canada, are banning passenger air travel from the UK in an effort to control the spread of a new highly infectious strain of COVID-19. The top U.S. official overseeing coronavirus testing said he didn't foresee a quick U.S. ban on UK travel. We'll take a closer look at the new strain that appears to spread 70% faster than earlier variants a little bit later in the show. Vaccinations using the newly authorized shot developed by Moderna are expected to start today. Trucks began delivering the vaccine to health departments, hospitals, and other sites on Sunday. Over the coming week, the federal government plans to distribute a total of 7.9 million doses of the vaccines from Moderna and Pfizer, which, along with its German partner BioNTech, developed the first COVID-19 shot authorized for use in the U.S. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to receive a COVID-19 vaccination in public today, according to his transition team. And a CDC panel has made recommendations for the next group of people who should be offered the coronavirus vaccine in early 2021. The Journal's Betsy McKay has more.
The group will include people ages 75 and older who are, you know, have the highest hospitalization and death rates in the nation. And it'll also include frontline essential workers, which means factory workers, police and firefighters, grocery store workers, and teachers, and others who are considered essential to keep the economy and society going. Then the idea is to move to this next group, which is people between 65 and 74, so that you get the whole, you know, 65 plus group who are also at high risk. And then anyone who's 16 or over who has a high risk medical condition. And then the final group of people in that third group are other essential workers. So not the frontline ones, but the second ones, people who work in the energy sectors and so forth.
With all the big pandemic news over the weekend, investors will have a lot to consider as markets start the shortened U.S. trading week before Christmas. For more, we're joined by markets editor Quentin Webb in Hong Kong. Hi, Quentin.
Hi, Keith.
In the wake of encouraging news about the next U.S. relief package, but also several countries banning travelers from the U.K. over a new strain of COVID-19, how might markets react as they kick off the week?
Well, U.S. markets seem to be starting the week on the back foot with U.S.
futures as we speak a little bit lower. And of course, in Europe, you know, we're seeing some other asset price moves that are quite significant. The FTSE 100 and some European indexes have opened substantially lower, and the pound is a bit weaker, and oil is also weakening too. I guess, you know, all that together tells you, at least for European assets and for some other asset classes such as oil, the concern about what this new strain of coronavirus and this new round of lockdowns means is outweighing any relief or any kind of optimism stoked by the new stimulus agreement.
Also, Tesla officially joins the S&P 500 today, following big stock swings and a record-high close Friday as investors prepared for the event. What sort of activity could we see this week as Tesla makes its S&P debut?
Well, so, you know, there are two competing camps on Tesla. There are the bulls who think the stock can really only continue to go higher, and there are the bears who, for a long time, have been proven wrong, and in fact, many of them had to close their short positions at great losses. Now, for bear case investors, you know, they would say that now Tesla is finally in the index and all the kind of passive investing that needed to be done to reorganize portfolios ahead of time is done, that we might see a bit of a sell-off. I guess for bulls, the case is probably, well, you know, this is a big stamp of approval for Tesla. It's now in one of the most important indexes in the world. The stock can, if anything, only go further up.
Quentin Webb in Hong Kong, thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Keith.
Just ahead, a closer look at the new highly infectious COVID-19 strain in the UK and the British government's response to its spread after the break. Scientists in the UK are racing to understand why a new strain of the coronavirus in Britain appears to be spreading much more quickly than earlier variants. It comes as Britain imposed fresh lockdowns across London and surrounding areas over the weekend, and a growing number of countries in Europe and beyond have banned travel from the UK. For more, we go to our Charlie Turner, who spoke with the Journal's UK and Brexit editor Stephen Fidler about the new strain of COVID-19.
So, Steve, when was this variant first identified?
It was first identified around September the 20th in Kent, which is a county to the southeast of London. And on the day after, they found it in London itself. Since then, it's grown rapidly. So about a month ago, it was responsible for 20% or so of cases in London. And the latest number we have in London suggests it's responsible for 62% of the cases there. So it's spreading much more rapidly than the older versions. And the government sort of estimates maybe 70% more rapidly than the earlier versions of the virus.
What exactly do scientists say about how this variant spreads?
What seems to have happened is some of the mutations have changed the spike protein on the virus. So the depictions you see of the virus have this sort of crown-type effect with the spikes. And on the end of the spikes, the protein exists. And that protein breaks down the cell walls and allows the virus to enter. Now, this variant appears to be more successful at breaking down the cell walls and therefore enters the body more easily and perhaps with less of a kind of viral load, if you like, to make that happen. It's not really clear how it works, but that seems to be one possible reason for its increased transmission.
Is it more dangerous?
There's no evidence to suggest it's more dangerous at this moment. I mean, there's still studies going on to look at it. There's no sign in London that hospitalizations have been increasing or that deaths have been increasing, though it's early days, or at least that they've been increasing faster than you would expect under the older, if it had been the older version of the virus. So far, no evidence that it's more dangerous, but the jury is still out. The other big question, obviously, as we're seeing the vaccines roll out, is whether it's likely to defeat the vaccines that are coming on. That seems to be also, for the moment, so there's no evidence of that. Again, they'll need to do more work on it. There are several types of vaccines that are being developed. So even if it did affect or reduce the effectiveness of one, of which there's even so far no evidence, then others might be effective. But they're still investigating that.
Steve, are there any indications of spread outside the UK at this point?
I think there are two things. The European Center for Disease Control said today that it had identified it in Denmark, in the Netherlands, and possibly in Belgium, a few cases. Something else that seems to have happened is that there are very similar variants that have arisen separately in places like South Africa and elsewhere. So it seems to be a similar mutation that could have arisen in different parts of the world around the same time. And the South Africans have said that version seems also to be increasing the transmissibility of the virus in South Africa.
How seriously is this being taken by authorities both inside and outside the UK?
Well, they're taking it very seriously. Essentially, there was a plan for a five-day kind of truce, if you like, on the restrictions over Christmas, and that where three households could get together and celebrate the season. That's not going to happen anymore. That's been reduced to just one day. London and the surrounding area has gone into probably the most serious lockdown since the spring. So things like all non-essential retail is closed. People can't visit others inside their houses and this kind of thing. So, you know, they're taking it pretty seriously in that area where it's prevalent. There are some people think that it does rather bode ill for the coming period, you know, after the new year when more restrictions will be likely, because inevitably with this, once the infections rise rapidly, as we've already seen, then it's followed by hospitalizations and pressure on the hospital system, and then inevitably and unfortunately by death. So it doesn't bode well for the early part of next year here and anywhere else there where it's spreading rapidly before the vaccine gets rolled out. So we're really in the early stages of the vaccine here, with 350,000 people having got a shot so far. And, you know, in a country of 66 million, that's not very many.
Steve, thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
And finally, in the pandemic, we found that many jobs can be done remotely. Magicians are in demand this holiday season, and some have been swapping out the stage for the screen and adapting their acts for Zoom. There are some added benefits. Some magicians are finding themselves able to do twice as many shows per day. The ability to mute hecklers has also been a surprise win. But like many of us have found, there are downsides to working from home. Some acts just don't translate. Levitating tricks are mostly out, and convincing people that there is no camera trickery is an uphill battle. You can read all about how the performers have adapted their shows on WSJ.com. And that's What's News for Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. You can stay up to date with all our latest stories on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Keith Collins with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.